And I know we need to hear from the Lord this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Book of Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Very familiar passage of scripture and that we've heard over and over again, but God's got a new revelation for us this morning. Amen. And we want to begin reading with verse 16. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. And the word of God reads on this order. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able. Tell somebody he's able. He's able. He's able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O King. And this morning I want to ask you a question. Do you know that God is able? Do you know that God is able? You may be seated in the presence of God. Now, when we look at this passage of scripture from the word of God, it deals with three boys of Hebrew origin and Jewish descent. And it was the Babylonian army that had spread its empire from India to Ethiopia. And Jerusalem, which we call the place of peace or the holy city of God, had already been ransacked, and the nation of Israel now had been robbed of some of its brightest minds. Now, these three boys who were known in the hood as Mishael, Hananiah, and Azariah were brought into bondage and slavery. See, sometimes you got to know who you are. You got to know where you come from. And I know that at the king, we talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But in the hood, y'all know about in the hood. In the hood, their names were Mishael, Hananiah, and Azariah. And each of these boys' name had a special meaning, a divine significance, and their names were designed to mean something. When we look at the word Hananiah, Hananiah means that Jehovah is gracious. Mishael means that God is our resemblance. And Azariah means that Jehovah is my helper. And I need you to understand today that your name ought to mean something. When people hear your name, what do they think? Are they inspired or do they get depressed? Are they helped or are they harmed? But a name ought to mean something. And these boys were captured and brought into the land of Babylon. And there they became slaves. Now the thing about it was, when they moved and their residence changed, they did not become disconnected from their history, their heritage. And it teaches us that if we don't know our history, then it means that you have no sense of your heritage. And if you don't know where you've been, you probably don't know where you're going. Be careful how to cancel out where you've been. All right. Because everybody in here has been in some tough situations in your life. But see, God can use you where you're from in order to set your shout and your testimony into being. See, what God is doing right now, he's trying to make us into who he wants us to be. I know somebody said, well, I was born on the wrong side of the tracks. I was born out of wedlock. I was born out of hurt and pain, mishaps, mistakes, identity crisis, divorce, whatever you want to call it. But you got to know where you're from. Listen to me now. In order to get a grip on where you're about to go, because God is about to take you somewhere. You better tell somebody God's getting ready. Don't curse your past. Because what your past has been is about to be a blessing to your future. Your heritage, your history can help you see clearly where you're about to go. See, if I've been down and out, I can look forward to being set free. And see, somebody said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, I haven't always known God, but right now, since I've gotten to know God for who he is, I can see the sun peeking through the clouds to let me know that my storm is almost gone. Now watch this. When they got into this new land, their names was changed to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And even though their names were changed, they remembered what their names were before they got in slavery. See, Hananiah, which meant God is gracious, was changed to Shadrach, which means that now I'm up under the command of Aku, and Aku was the god of Babylonian, the moon god that was in Babylon. Mishael was changed to Meshach, which used to be I resemble God, but now it says I resemble Aku. And then the word Azariah, which meant that God is my helper, was changed to Abednego, and Abednego means that I'm a servant of all the gods. But even though their names were changed, watch this. They were not tripping over a label or a tag. They remembered who they were, and they remembered whose they were. And I ask God every day to deliver me from people that's hung up on titles. Stop trying to be a name that you know you're not worthy of in function. Amen. Come on now. See, if you're going to talk the talk, but if you can't walk the walk, you need to shut your mouth. Don't pretend to be something because your title can mean nothing. You don't have to tell everybody I'm a Christian, just be one. You don't have to keep reminding people that I'm a pastor, deacon, preacher, leader, president. Just be all that you can be. Now, when these folk left Judah, they had to leave all their possessions behind them. The city was destroyed. All their possessions were gone. Family was scattered. Wealth was missing. And all was left behind. Now let me explain to you, when they left Jerusalem, Jerusalem was a believer in the one true God. But in Babylon, they were some religious folk, but whenever the king changed, the religion would often change in Babylon. They switched gods, just like they switched kings. So when Nebuchadnezzar became God, he brought with him a new way of being religious. But these three boys said, I don't care where you take me. We know that the God we serve, he's able. And when you move from some rough situations, you must take your faith with you. They knew that God loved them, and they were determined that they were going to serve the one and true God. What God are you talking about? They said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. They brought him with them. The Lord that was the creator of the universe, they brought him with him, the same God that says, in all thy ways acknowledge thy path, and they brought him with them. Then they caught themselves in some tough situations, but they could hear the word of God saying, delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now I can see it. And then sometimes it seems like all manner of hell can go against you. But I can hear him saying, fret not thyself because of evildoers, for they shall soon be cut off. You better tell somebody, God is able. And finally, I'm trying to get through. After Nebuchadnezzar had been successful in expanding the boundaries of Babylon, he began to consolidate this empire. And then when we look in verse 1 of this chapter, we see where he will build a golden image that stood 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. And so right now, Nebuchadnezzar feels like he's got it going on. I've got me a golden statue that resembles my power. In other words, he says, I become a number one stunner. I become, now I'm the big baller, shot caller. And his image symbolized all of the false gods that sometimes will surround us in this life. These gods will come to your seat, amen, sitting right in here. I said, Pastor, what are you talking about? False gods. Well, false gods are anything that you are tempted to worship. Amen. See, there's a false god in everybody in here's life. Just say ouch. Get it in, just say ouch. You can have money, but money can't give you meaning. See, you can have money, but money can't bring you a glass of water if you're thirsty. If your body's racking with pain, call on the Jacksons, and I promise you, they won't ease your racking pain. You might have a good job, but a good job can't give you joy. You can have a whole lot of good things, but good things will not allow you to be able to go home and lay down and sleep at night. You might have gorgeous gadgets in your kitchen, sparkling splendor in your bathroom, luxury in your living room, and beauty and a giant screen in your bedroom, but none of these things will make your house a home. The king built a statue of himself, and he sent words that, now I want you to tell everybody that we're getting ready to have a party. And it's RSVP only. It's going to be off the chain. We're talking about drinks that will be flowing. The music will be playing. The party will be jumping. And sure enough, that day came around, and it was everything that it was promised to be. See, everybody that was anybody showed up at the party. And when they got there, I can see them, that the music began to play and the people began to dance and they began to celebrate. And then all the people began to bow down when the music was played. And then I see Messy Marvin say, "Oh, King, when the music was played, everybody bowed down except them three boys from Israel." And the king said, "I can't believe they didn't bow. Go find them." And they said, the king says, "Now, boys, all you need to do is just bow down when the music played." And I can see the king saying, "Mr. DJ, turn the music up so these boys can bow." And then turn the music up. The box began to beat. The walls began to shake. And he said, "Oh, king, it's time for us to just be real with you. You are great, and there is nobody like you. But," tell somebody, "but
Somebody here right now is facing situations where the situation is telling you to bow down. The king said, now, I'm going to put you in this furnace now. I'm not playing. Then I can see these boys get over in a corner and form their own group. And they said, King, we've already made up our minds that we're not going to bow. We'd rather burn than bow. And right now, some saved folk need to be saying, I'd rather burn than bow. They said, King, we've already put it to a vote, and it was unanimous. We ain't bowing. In fact, we're not even worried about you, because no matter what you say or what you threaten to do to us, we're not going to bow. It said, King, we can't worship you because you're just going to be the vessel that God is going to use to bless us. Then watch this. They said, King, the God we serve, he's able. And right now in your life, you might have to praise God by yourself sometimes. We got to tell our friends and family, I might love you, but I'm not going to worship you. I might respect you, but I'm not going to worship you. I might honor you, but I'm not going to worship you. Then the king said, you're going to burn. They say, that's cool, King, because the God we serve, even if he don't show up, watch this. Somebody here going through some situations right now, and finance is not meeting up. Health kind of faulty. I came to tell you this morning, even if God does not show up, I came to tell you he's able. You better tell somebody he's able. See, able means that he has the ability to. And see, as long as I know that God is omnipotent, as long as I know that he's omnipresent, as long as I know that he's omniscient, that means that God knows everything, he's everywhere, and he has all the power. And even if he don't show up, I know that he's able. Anybody here know he's able? They said, King, you don't know who you mess with, because your arms are too short to box with God. They said, even if he does not show up, we will not bow down. And right now, let me tell you, these boys had something that everybody in here needs. They had some unconditional faith. See, right now, we got conditional faith. We're saying, if God do this, then I'm going to do that. But they said, if God don't show up, I still realize that he's able. And you got to get to the point in your life where you can say, even if he does not show up, even if he does not heal me, even if he does not deliver me, I still know that God is able. See, I'm talking about some believing Christians this morning. I'm not talking about no pity-pat, easy-going saints of God. Watch this. Can you say, if I lose my job, if I lose my house and my car, if my spouse moves out, I still know that God is able. Somebody here has been down to nothing, had a light bill due, a gas bill too, but you can testify that God is still able. Can I get a witness right now? Now, I know I've got some testimonies in here, and somebody's going to tell me that my lights were cut off. But God showed up, and my light stayed on. Then now I got somebody else that said my lights were cut off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I thought I was going to have enough to pay my light bill, and I still came short. But you know what I said? God, is still able. And about the next Friday, payday came again. I got the lights on, and that let me know that God was and still is able. Anybody here ever lost a loved one and you took a long walk to the cemetery, but over in the midnight hour, God spoke peace and said, I gotta let you know that I'm still able. Now watch this. The king's getting mad about now. And he told the folk, I want you to heat the furnace up 7 times hotter than it's ever been heated before. And right now, some of your enemies are heating the furnace up for you. But even if you get thrown into the furnace, you can go ahead and tell them, God is able. I'm about to get out of here in just a second. Now, when we look here, they heated the furnace 7 times hotter. Now the 7 is a special number. 7 is a number of completion. So if we heat it up 7 times higher, then that ought to complete the lives of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But see, sometimes what you plant, if you dig one ditch, you better dig 2. Watch this. God does not have to take you out of your situation. He can keep you in the situation in order to make you a testimony for what he's able to do. See, somebody said, God is working on me. God is about to take me somewhere. I'm trying to get through. Now, there are 3 things that you need to remember, 3 C's that you need to remember. First of all, you got to remember your connection. If you look in verse 17, they say, our God. See, right now, if you know Jesus as your Savior, then that means that I've got a connection that keeps on reminding me. I get a text message every now and then from the connected that says, I'm able. I'm still able to deliver. They knew that they had a special relationship with God. Then you've got to remember the second C of who's in control. They knew that the fire would be hot, and they knew that the fire would destroy them, and there was no escape from a human standpoint. But as they faced the fire, they knew what it could do to them. But they went ahead and say, God is able. They knew that he had the power to deliver them through the fire. And today, folk, God has not changed. He's still able to do anything that needs to be done. And even if you go in the fire, God controls the thermostat. Sometimes we have to go through the fire, pass through the filter in order for God's perfect plan to be made manifest in our lives. That's the reason Romans 8 says, and all things work together for the good of them that love God. Then you got to remember your commitment. These men were committed to, even if I have to face my own death, I'm determined to serve God. And in their day of testing, they were able to stand. And right now, when fire comes into your life and you get ready to quit, you better remember that God has promised help during our times of trials and testing. When you get ready to quit, anybody been ready to quit? You got to remember that God has promised that he would not allow us to be tempted above anything that we weren't able to bear. Jesus had to face trials, but he didn't quit. And you got to know that when you take a step in faith, it takes you to the next dimension. And once you head to the next dimension, you become an overcomer. Anybody here an overcomer? Somebody don't let me explain what overcome mean. They said you wasn't going to make it. And guess what? You still here. That's an overcomer. So you've got to go through your storms and your tests to become an overcomer. And when you become an overcomer, you step into a new dimension of God. In other words, silly things don't upset you no more. They can talk about you, but it really don't bother you anymore. See, they knew that I'm an overcomer. Why? Why am I an overcomer? I'm an overcomer, first of all, because I'm in the presence of God. See, he said, even though you may go through the fire, he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, and I won't leave you comfortless. Then I'm overcome by the preservation of God. God did not put me in a fiery trial just to lose me. He didn't allow me to go through my test just to lose me, because, see, God will meet you in the midst of your fire, and he will give you strength in the time of your trial. And see, every time I go through the storm and the rain, I remember that this is only just a test. This world is not my home. I'm only just passing through. Then I'm overcome by the power of God. Now unto him who is able, tell somebody, he's able to keep me from falling. Doesn't matter what I'm facing today, God is bigger than the stuff in my life. Then I'm overcome by the program of God. See, God has something higher for your life. There's a higher calling in your life. I'm so glad that trouble don't last always. God is getting ready to take me to another level. And then that means that I'm overcome by the promotion of God, which means that God is getting ready to promote me. But before I can be promoted, I gotta get some of the junk out of my life. And see, fire is a purifier. And see, sometimes I have to go through the fire, and the fire will burn off all the excess junk in my life. See, when fire burns me, sometimes the smut just covers the outside. Anybody here been through the fire? Right now, I seem like every day something is one thing or another, and I'm going through the fire. But I tell you, I know that God is able. He's able. Anybody here know he's able? Let me tell you what happens when I go through the fire. The fire will sometimes cover me up with smut. Old black stuff cover me up. But then I can see God say, I'm working out something in his life. Now watch this. After I go through the fire, I can hear Jesus saying, though his sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Sat down and talked to my daddy yesterday, and he said, Rigby, I know you feel like you're covered up in smut right now, but he began to dip some red, my soul, into that red blood, and some of the burn became to come off. And I said, God, what are you doing with me? Burnt places came off my head. Burnt places came off my hand. Burnt up places came off my heart. Sure enough, burnt off places came off my feet. I said, God, what are you doing? He said, I'm getting ready to purify you. And then he began to wash away all the smut off my life. And somebody said, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm not all that I ought to be, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be. It's not because of me, but because of Christ in my life. Somebody said, I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And I'm glad today that God, anybody know God is able? Anybody know God is able? Did he pick you up? Did he turn you around? Did he wipe off the burnt places off of your life? And he began to set you into the destiny where he was about to carry you. I see somebody said, it's over. Somebody thought it was over. The boys went on into the furnace, and they tell me that they didn't have no fireproof clothes. But they say they looked around, and the king came down and said, now, did we not throw three men into the furnace? See, three is symbolic. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But see, right now, the Holy Ghost wants somebody to join him. Holy Ghost wants somebody to join him. And I look and I count four. He said, and the fourth one looks like the Son of God. Anybody here know that God is able? He said, I wonder what this man is up to. And somebody said, I'm going to give him a new title. I got Shadrach. I got Meshach. I got an Abednego. And I got a fireman. And they tell me the fireman is putting out the fire in your life. Anybody here got a fireman in your life? He's able. Anybody here know he's able? Anybody here know that God is able to bring you out? He can bring you out. Somebody here said, I don't believe he can bring me out. But I can go to a city called Bethany. And they tell me he had a buddy named Lazarus. And Lazarus had died. And you know, dead thing in your life will begin to stink. They buried and said, where is Jesus? He didn't show up. But I tell you, he may not come when you want him to. But he's always, always, he's always on time. They tell me after 24 hours, he didn't show up. After 48 hours, he didn't show up. And after about 72 hours, here come Jesus. He said, I want you to show me where you laid Lazarus. And I can hear some of the church folk saying, Jesus, you too late. And right now, I got some folk in here whose lights cut off. You saying, Jesus, you too late. But then Jesus said, guess what? I am not gonna be, but I am the resurrection and the life. I want you to carry me to your stinking problem. And he went to the tomb and he said, Lazarus. Why did he call Lazarus? If he hadn't called his name, everybody would have got up. But he said, Lazarus, I want you to get up. Lazarus tried to get up. Lazarus couldn't get up. And then he said, death, get your hands off of him. Loose him now and let him go. And somebody said, he still ain't going to get up. But I can hear Lazarus walking up out the tomb and said, Lazarus, how did you get up? He said, because God, my God is able. Anybody here know that God is able? Hey. He can pick you up. He can turn you around. He can set your feet on solid ground. Anybody here know he's able? Anybody here know he's able? He's able. He's able. Oh, yeah, my God is able. You ever been sick? And the doctor said, I've done all that I can do. Go ahead and take him home. And they took you home. And about that time, that fire medic came by your house and said, get up. I'm not ready for you to go yet. He healed your body. Anybody here been sick? Somebody right now say, I was down, broke, disgusted, and I couldn't be trusted. I was down to my last dime. I said, Jesus, I need you to show up. I need you to show up because I need a blessing right now. I know your family said you ain't got no check coming because the job done closed down. But I just said, I know he's able. He's able. He's able. And then about that time, the bank statement comes, and you look on the bank statement, and what you thought was a dollar, it was $1,000 in the bank account. He's able. Oh, yeah. He's able. God can make a way out of no way. Anybody know he's able? Anybody know he's able? Anybody here know he's able? Somebody said it's over, but I said it ain't over. So God says it's over. I can hear him right now saying, those that their skin sins be as scarlet. I can wash them up. I can clean them up. See, I wasn't fit to live, but I wasn't ready to die. Man had sent me to hell, but God, he's able. He's able. He's able. Anybody here know he's able? Does anybody here know my God is able? Don't you sit down on me. If he's done anything for you, get up on your feet. Say, yeah. He's able. Tell somebody, he's able. I don't care what you say about me. He's able. I might be broke, but he's able. May not have a job, but he's able. They repossessed a car, but he's able. They foreclosed on my house, but he's able. God will. God will. God will. He's able. Anybody here know he's able? The invitation is given. And right now, get on the winning side. You get rough sometimes, but get on the winning side. Because he's able to do abundantly and exceedingly above anything that you ask. Somebody right now asking God for a dollar. He's going to bless you past that. Anybody believe that? Don't believe with your mouth. Anybody believe that? That's because the God that I serve is able. Some of you getting ready to go into depressed mode. Hit the stop button. If you don't have a dollar for Christmas, guess what? Ain't your birthday no way. It's about Jesus. Somebody upset because I can't go buy no clothes. Can't go buy no PlayStation 3s. Can't go buy a 3D TV. But guess what? Your daddy. Let me explain. Christmas is spelled C-H-R-I-S-T. I'm going to stop right there. And I can give you a PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, new clothes, polo or solo. It don't make a difference. But watch this. But if you don't have Christ, you don't have Christmas. If Santa run and Jesus not at your house, you don't have Christmas. I'm talking to these young folk now. Don't spend your whole life trying to spend a whole year's paycheck in 2 weeks talking about Christmas. If you've got Christ in your life, you've got the supplier to everything. Because, see, when you get Christ in life, the Bible says you can ask him what you will. It's some stipulations, but guess what? He'll give you the desires of your heart. Right. So you got things backwards. Y'all begging mom and daddy. They ain't got but a paycheck or two. That's about all we got. But right. Jesus, get him in your life. Right. Everything else will be added. Don't have to wait till December 25th to eat some turkey. So get out the depressed mode. Get into the praise mode. And when praises go up, that's when your blessings come down. If you don't have Christ, you can't have Christmas. So everybody, if you don't go shopping, go watch. See, I got to get up out of here. But even if you don't have a dime, if that stuff excites you, go be excited for the one that's got a dime. Just walk through the mall and be excited for the one that's got a dime. And see, because see, if God had delivered, I want you to read the story when you get home in this chapter. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were all pretty wealthy folk. And when they were taken and kept, they lost all that they had. But God elevates them after they go through their situations. And right now you may be stuck in a situation, but just tell your buddy he ain't through yet. Let's give God some praise.
Thank God for your presence this morning. All right. Thank God for Pastor Robinson, Pastor Jones being with us this morning. Amen. Amen. And this time, let's all stand and prepare to be dismissed. Amen. Amen.